Right, so now we join David Jeremiah in his program Turning Point as we continue with part two of his message, The Priority of a Diligent Mind.
Welcome to Turning Point. Have you ever thought about how you'd like to enter heaven when this life is over? Well, today, Dr. David Jeremiah considers the difference between slinking silently into heaven after a shallow, unproductive Christian life and entering triumphantly after living fully and diligently for Christ. Listen as David introduces the conclusion of his message, The Priority of a Diligent Mind.
Well, thank you for joining us. We are studying what the Bible has to teach us about our minds. And we've already looked at the priority of a devoted mind. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the dedicated mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And now today, we are continuing our discussion of the priority of a diligent mind. Well, let's get started with the final segment of this session on the priority of a diligent mind as we open our Bibles together. This is the Word of God from 1 and 2 Peter.
So we have the divine command and the divine cooperative and the divine curriculum. Now notice in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, we have some divine consequences. Notice what it says in verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter points to three consequences that will happen to us if we diligently apply ourselves to those things which God has diligently given to us. He says, first of all, we will have an assurance. Notice what it says. If these things are yours. What does Peter mean? He means if you have taken hold of these truths to such an extent that they become yours. They become yours when you experience them, then when you put them into operation, when God tells you to do something and you do it, and then you discover, this is true. This is not only something I read in the Bible. This is absolutely true. I did what he said, and it's true. And then that passage of Scripture becomes yours, and you have an assurance that comes from that, and a confidence that comes from that. I have followed the Word of God, and God has been faithful to me, and now I understand this is my truth. You know, you can't have your own personal truth by listening to the preacher. The truth has to become yours by your getting that truth and applying it in your life and watching how God uses that truth to shape you and to form you and to help you. And then you go back. And some of you, I've heard you give testimonies. You say, this is my verse. Why is it your verse? Because God gave it to you and you used it and you discovered that God is faithful and he has done what he said he would do. Then it becomes yours. If these things are yours, and then not only does it bring you assurance, but sometimes it brings you abundance. If these things are yours and abound, in other words, if these things are true of you, and not only true of you, but really true of you, because you become what these things are saying, and you have an abundance of that life, not just for yourself, but for those who are near you and around you, and then that assurance and that abundance transfers, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so much more that I could say about that, but simply to say this, when you take what God has diligently given to you, which is everything you need, and you diligently dig into that so that you can mine it out of what God has entrusted to you, and you begin to understand what that means, and then you follow God's curriculum for growth and righteousness, the Bible says something will happen to you. First of all, you will get an assurance about your faith. You know, when we grow up in Christian homes, oftentimes we take the faith of our parents, and there's not anything wrong with that. Somewhere along the way, though, we have to make that faith our own, don't we? Nobody gets to heaven because their parents were Christians. You get to heaven because you become a Christian. And when you take that faith as your own, it's a whole different quality, is it not, than just being a Christian because my parents are Christians. Most young people have to deal with that when they go to college and they're confronted with some of the humanism and atheism that's in our colleges and in our schools. But there comes a moment of time when they have to deal with that and they have to search it out and know it. And when they come to know it, it becomes their faith. That's really the only kind of faith there is. Personal faith. Now, Notice in verse 9 that Peter gives us some divine contrasts. And he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Did you notice that the Bible is, I don't know if I can say this, this sounds almost, it's cool. The Bible is cool. The Bible tells you what to do, and then it tells you what will happen if you do it. And then the Bible tells you what not to do, and it tells you what will happen if you do what you're not supposed to do. We've already learned what God promised to do for us if we take his command to diligence. But notice what it says in verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now, this is a profound verse of Scripture. This verse of Scripture tells us that if we choose to be passive about our walk with the Lord, if we choose to float instead of fight, what will happen to us is pretty certain. First of all, we will be incomplete. For he who lacks these things. Peter says that it is possible to be a Christian and lack the things that are listed in the curriculum. You mean you can be a Christian and lack virtue? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can you lack brotherly love as a Christian? Talk to me about it. Yes, you can be a Christian and not act like a Christian, not look like a Christian, because becoming a Christian is simply making a commitment to Jesus Christ for your salvation and your eternal life. And there are many Christians who, once they get to that place, it doesn't go much further. I remember hearing a story about a little boy who fell out of bed one night, and his mother went up to help him because she heard him crying. When she put him back in bed and tucked him in, she asked him, what do you think? Why did you fall out of bed? He said, I don't know, Mommy. I think I fell asleep too near to where I got in. You know? That's what happens to a lot of Christians, isn't it? They fall asleep too near to where they get into the faith. And the Bible says that if you do that, you will just be incomplete. You'll be a Christian, but that's all you'll be able to say. You won't be living as a Christian. You won't be looking like a Christian. You'll just be a Christian. You'll be incomplete. But notice, secondly, you'll be ineffective. It says here you'll be short-sighted, even to blindness, if you don't develop a determination to walk with the Lord and take from what God has given you and develop it diligently. The Bible says you'll be nearsighted. What is a nearsighted person? They're a person that can only see things close. You will lose all sense of perspective. Do you know why a lot of Christians don't want to have anything to do with prophecy? Because they're nearsighted. Do you know what that means? Is don't tell me about the future. Just tell me about what I need today. Give me something for today. And I'm all for that. I think we all need hope and encouragement for today. But a Christian who's walking with the Lord and diligently employed in the study of the Word of God is going to have a much larger picture than what's going on tomorrow. And friends, we better have that kind of picture today, living where we are in the world that we live in. You won't be nearsighted. It says, short-sighted, even to blindness. Some Christians have so neglected the graces and disciplines of the Christian life that it's like they're blind. I hear this conversation more than I think I've ever heard it before. I've known that person. They've been a Christian for many years. How in the world did they ever get into that mess? Well, you know, a lot of Christians are just, they walk around bumping into walls, falling into ditches, because they've never taken any time to build the inwardness of their walk with the Lord. And so they're Christians in name and in reality because they've confessed their sin, but somehow they've lost the motivation to go on with God. And when a person does that, they're just like a hollow shell walking around in a Christian suit with no reality about who they are. And then the Bible says they'll be incomplete, ineffective, and insincere, and has forgotten that they were cleansed from their old sins. How could that happen? How could you be a Christian and not remember what it was like before you became a Christian? Well, the way that happens is you start living more and more like you used to live before you became a Christian, and the difference is lost in your life. One of the reasons we have communion every month is so we will remember. Isn't it interesting that Almighty God knows us better than we know ourselves? He's our maker. I've wondered sometimes, why would you ever have to have a remembrance service for your salvation? God knows, because we're so easily forgetting it. Peter says in one of his passages about the mind, he says, stir up your mind by remembering. That's a great thought. We need to remember what we were and what we are and how we got from what we were to where we are today. Because if we don't, we will lose the fervency and vibrancy and urgency of our faith. And then the Bible goes on to say that not only is there a divine command and a divine cooperative and a divine curriculum and some consequences and a contrast, but there's a conclusion. Notice verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, therefore what? Therefore, because of what we've just been talking about, therefore be even more diligent. Not just diligent, but even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful promise that is. Two things Peter says will happen to us if we're diligent and if we mine the truths God has given us. Two things, and they're very simple. First of all, we will have a good experience on our way to heaven. If you do these things, you will never stumble. It's not enough just to go to heaven. I mean, it's enough if all you want is heaven. But how many of you think it would be all right if we enjoyed the journey? I mean, some people, you know, you've heard it said, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Have you heard that? I teach prophecy, and I know that one of the dangers people have is they get so caught up in what's going to happen in the future, they forget what's happening today. And here's what I know from the Word of God. Not only has God given us this precious promise, and yes, there's going to be trials and tribulations, but if you're a Christian, your walk on this earth is the best experience you could ever have, because you know where you're going, you know that it's guaranteed and God has promised it to you, and then along the way you can enjoy the walk that you have. Yes, there will be tough times in their spiritual warfare, as we know. But notice what it says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. What ruins the Christian experience is when we get off the path, isn't it? I mean, if we stay walking with the Lord, if we stay in fellowship with the Lord, it's a wonderful, joyous experience. Yes, with some challenges, but always with the knowledge that God is there to help you. This passage of Scripture says there's something you can do that will keep you from stumbling. Let me see if I can put this together for us. Why do we stumble along the way? It's usually not because of the moment. It's because of what hasn't happened before the moment. I remember hearing Chuck Swindoll say one time about marriage that a broken marriage is never a blowout. It's always a slow leak. And what he meant by that was just exactly what we're talking about here. If we fail to build with diligence the things that God has given us as our treasure, if we fail to utilize those things, little by little, the pressure from the outside takes over, since there's no pressure from the inside. And when we face a temptation or a problem, we stumble. And let me tell you something, there's nothing on God's earth more miserable than a Christian out of fellowship with God. I've said that and people question it, but it's absolutely true. Because if you're out of fellowship with God, you have a distinctive difference than a person who's not been saved. You know what it's like to have fellowship with God, and now it's gone. You can't lose your salvation, but how many of you know you can lose the joy of your salvation if you don't walk with the Lord? And so Peter says, if you don't want to make shipwreck out of your life, here's what you do. Just stay diligent. Do the things that God has called you to do. And he promises us that if we do that, we won't stumble. We won't fall in the ditch. We won't get off on a cul-de-sac. We won't go on a detour. God will help us stay focused as we go forward. We'll have a good experience on our way. And then here's the culmination of the whole passage. We will have a glorious entrance into heaven. We'll have a good experience on our way to heaven, and we'll have a glorious entrance into heaven. Read this passage. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know, some people are going to get to heaven with the smell of smoke on their clothes. And that's not because they smoke cigarettes either. What I mean by that is they've accepted Christ and that's it. And that's what I'm trying to help us understand today. There's a way you can live the Christian life that's very unproductive, very unsatisfactory. Some people say, well, if you're living that way, you're not a Christian. And that may be true of some folks, but I know people that are genuinely Christians who somehow they've gotten off the hard track and they've fallen into this habit of just being a Christian outwardly and everything else is unchanged. The Bible says you can go to heaven like that, or you can go to heaven and enter in abundantly. I want to go into heaven filled with joy and excitement and the thrill of everything that God has allowed me to do in my walk with Him. I don't want to just sneak into heaven through the side door. I want to go in through the front door with my hands up high saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And the Bible says that's possible, but don't think that it's possible if you don't take what Paul and Peter tell us about the diligence of our walk. It's coming down our way that we're going to have to deal with. And if nothing else, I could say this. It's become extremely unpopular to be a Christian. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So if we're going to be Christians, let's be real Christians. Let's be Christians all the way through to the core. Let's be the kind of Christians that when the criticism comes and the ridicule comes, we can stand strong because we have diligently taken the exceeding precious promises that give to us everything we need for life and godliness, and we have put them to work in our lives. When I came back from cancer, I got home and there was a recliner in the living room where I kind of hung out for a few weeks while I was getting better. First day I got home, Donna came in and she brought me all the mail that had come while I'd been sick. And it was quite a stack. Right on the top of the stack was a book written by Gordon MacDonald called The Life God Blesses. Now you have to understand, we read books in the context of our life. And when you come away from having, you know, the wonder whether or not you're going to make it or not, you come home and here's the message from God on the top of your mail stack, The Life God Blesses. I think I might read this book. I think I might like to find out how this works. I read it and it was a wonderful blessing to me, and I've quoted from other parts of the book in years past. But in the book, Gordon MacDonald tells us in its fabrication, the creature comforts, those and every other aspect of his equipment were the epitome of modern sailing lore. So one couldn't say that Plant didn't have everything. I mean, he had the best of expertise, he had the best of experience and equipment, and when he unfurled his sails and put out to sea for signals, ships in the general area of Plant's course were told to be on the lookout. Rescue aircraft from several nations began combing parts of the Atlantic, and days passed with no signals or no sightings. Cody was found. It was upside down in the water, and sailboats do not capsize normally. They are built to take the most vigorous pounding a sea can offer. Sailors allege that a sailboat is the most natural of all sailing vessels, and it will Plant's sailboat be upside down. And that's exactly what happened. When they retrieved Michael Plant's sailing vessel, Peter urges, and ladies and gentlemen, that's the difference that we as Christians have. We have the potential to live above the fray, to be strong in the midst of all of the weakness, to be secure in the midst of the despair, to be courageous in the midst of the fear. Where does that come from? It comes from below the waterline, when we build strong the issues of our souls.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you for joining us today as we continue our study of what do you think? The priority today of a diligent mind. Tomorrow we'll finish up the week with a discussion of the priority of the determined mind. We're looking at what the Bible says about our minds, and we're taking it one day at a time, learning everything we can about how God wants to use our mind to bring glory to His name. I keep going back to our first lesson, which says we're to love the Lord our God with all of our minds. And we're trying to discover here on Turning Point during these days how we go about doing that. How can we love God with our minds? Well, we'll have more of that tomorrow. I hope you join us then. I'm David Jeremiah. Thanks for listening.
Today's message from Dr. David Jeremiah originated at Shadow Mountain Community Church, where he serves as senior pastor. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, let David know. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, What Do You Think? On Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.